Chapter 9. And I can't move, I cannot move. Bastard didn't even bring out his kagune. There was a chorus of grumbles and disparaging cheers. Nie Ming Chui led the crowd, already slamming down his fourth pint of beer, as he got to his feet and began to retell the story for the seventh time that evening. Lan Wangji rested against a far wall, observing the chaos with the intensity one has when they are weighing up the pros and cons of leaving early. The bar, which the upper hierarchy of the CCG had booked to celebrate, was cram-packed full of investigators, distinctive white coats discarded for dress shirts getting increasingly stained with beer and wine. It wasn't a bad story that the director was telling. After all, Lan Wangji was very interested to learn about how his brother, his boss, and their spy friend whatever role Meng Yao was currently filling in their lives had managed to take down the most fearsome of ghouls. He just might be more interested to hear it from his deeply logical brother, or at least from the director when he wasn't slurring every second character. Lan Wangji, I believe a more proper introduction is in order. He blinked and turned to find Meng Yao arriving at his side through the crowd. He bowed and quickly internally corrected himself. Inspector Meng, please. The man smiled, traces of humility and good nature within his expression. I still have 2 years of training to complete at an academy before I'm deserving of such a title. Lan Wangji let out a faint humph. Considering his suddenly exemplary record, he doubted Meng Yao would even have to complete the accelerated single year of training. Not seeing the point in lingering, however, he turned to properly face the man.
I did not know you possessed a quinqiu.
Ah, that wasn't mine. Meng Yao's face turned suitably respectful. When Rohan liked collecting them from dead investigators, I was able to steal one when Investigator Lan was distracting him. A backstab it had been, when Rohan had been so dismissive of the two investigators before him, he hadn't seen the strike coming from his blind spot. Had he used his kagune, he probably could have dodged, but he hadn't felt the need to bring it out.
Will you keep it?
All stolen quinqus have been returned to the CCG's corresponding department for maintenance, Meng Yao instead responded. So probably, yes. Ayao? Ah, Wangji. They both turned to greet Lan Zichen, whose journey was notably more hindered by random investigators grabbing him for a few words every step. Meng Yao visibly brightened, bowing. Investigator Lan, Ayao. Lan Zichen smiled as he interrupted, and Lan Wangji sort of felt like an outsider listening to his own brother. How many times have I told you that it is unnecessary to call me such? Arga is too kind. Meng Yao smiled back, and Lan Wangji wondered if glancing at the time on his phone was too obvious. Fortunately, Lan Zichen soon turned his way. And are you doing all right, Wangji?
Loud.
Yes, it is getting a bit rambunctious. All three were forced to step back as a waiter passed by with drinks, struggling not to get jumped by about 30 combat-trained adults. Do you need to step out, or will you be fine for a bit longer? Before he could answer, a roar came from Nie Ming Tui's general direction, and all three tried to peer through the flickering heads. I'll go check that out. Meng Yao decided quietly, slipping back through the bodies. Lan Wangji turned.
Arga?
Yes. Lan Zichen's expression was serene. He saved my life, and Daga's, and we saved his. We have already spoken with Uncle about taking an oath of brotherhood
upon Ayao's graduation.
I see.
He didn't need to look to know his brother was brimming with amusement.
You're more than welcome to call me Ge, too.
No.
Aww. He batted away the hand, pinching his cheek, turning to scowl at his unrepentant brother.
Meng Yao is not built to be an investigator.
I know.
With the words, Lan Xichen shifted back slightly, concern growing.
I believe he's been contemplating whether or not to participate in this new Quinx project.
Lan Xichen blinked, turning to him with an open mouth. But then Meng Yao was returning, looking slightly harried.
Arga, he's had a bit too much.
Yes, I'll come. Lan Xichen squeezed his brother's shoulder before heading back off into the crowds. The loss left Lan Wangji stiff, the alcohol a bit too strong and the sounds a bit too loud, and he finally drew a line and managed to force his way to the front door and out into the open air. He sighed as he stepped outside. The cold air immediately bit into his face, and he tilted his head up to catch the wind against his sweaty neck. It was a welcome reprieve from the fumes within, and he spent a few moments just reclining in the cool, checking his phone. Aside from the odd pictures from Wei Wuxian and Ai Yuan, the remaining Wens featuring on occasion, there was nothing really interesting. Neither of them had particularly had the time to catch up properly, since Lan Wangji has the aftermath to deal with, and Wei Wuxian had, to quote, 20 fucking hours of lectures to catch up on before next week, Lan Chan. Next week! The thought had him almost smiling.
Lan Argongsi?
He blinked and glanced to the side. Jiang Yanli smiled at him, bundled up in a deep purple jumper, ivory scarf trailing artfully atop. He bowed politely and hoped his curiosity was visible. By her slightly widening smile, it was.
It's a pleasure to run into you again.
It is not hard to find the location of this celebration,
he felt the need to point out, and she didn't so much as bat an eyelid.
No, not really, but I was only guessing that you would step outside for a moment.
She covered her mouth with a gloved hand and returned the bow.
Forgive my assumption.
Not at all.
He gave her a slight once-over, but nothing was particularly sticking out to him.
Lotus Pier is all right.
Her expression growing a tad more serious.
Yes, we were fine. Fortunately, the Wen contingent went in there thinking we wanted to avoid a fight. Catching them off guard worked well in our favor.
That is good.
He paused for a moment.
Is there something you wish to ask of me?
Quite so.
She smiled, a bit gratefully.
I just wanted to clarify some things, if that's all right with you.
He frowned and nodded. She beamed, a bit brighter, hands moving together.
Wonderful. In that case, are you indeed interested in a courtship with my ASEAN?
He choked. She didn't seem to mind his mortified silence, marching on.
I don't blame you. ASEAN is kind and brave and good, and I've always known there were never any boys more handsome than my little brothers. Anyone he chooses to date should consider themselves deeply fortunate.
It was now that she frowned.
So I'm wondering why, considering you have such a golden opportunity, you have not taken it up? Do you find ASEAN to be lacking?
No. In hindsight, both the interruption and the speed of it were both awfully revealing, and his ears turned to fire as the Lotus Bride paused and promptly let out a bell-like sound of laughter.
Lan Argongsi, how quickly you leap to his defense. It makes me glad to hear it.
Lan Wangji wanted to bury himself.
She quieted down.
He wants to talk to you.
About what?
Nothing in particular.
She shrugged lightly.
He enjoys it. He enjoys being around you. I would hope that, if you enjoy being around him, you might want to clear out all this obtrusive uncertainty with a talk.
He swallowed. I have no desire to force my feelings.
I'm sure you don't.
She cut through neatly.
But please don't assume my brother's feelings, Lanargonxi. If one of you would stop being a chicken shit long enough to confess, then you'd spare many people the suffering of listening to his pining.
At this point, he was just straight up gaping at her, and it was rude. And she was Wei Wuxian's sister, but had she really just said that? Her expression softened, and she gave his arm a reassuring pat.
Asian cares so much about you, Lanargonxi. I'm not throwing you into the deep end here.
Wangji? He spun around to find Lan Xichen emerging from the bar, Nie Mingchui's arm slung over his shoulders. When he glanced back, he was only slightly surprised to find the space the Lotus Bride had been previously standing at completely empty.
Could you help me, please?
He shook himself, and instead watched his brother doing his damnedest to sweet-talk Nie Mingchui into cooperating as he manhandled the larger man out of the door. He hastened over, taking the director's other arm and supporting the larger man's other side.
Nie Huaisong?
Left a while ago. Lan Xichen sighed. Maybe I should have intervened at the seventh beer.
He had fun. I don't mind helping.
Lan Xichen sent him a warm smile.
Let's get him home. He's slept on the couch before.
He had? Together they managed to navigate their drunk director into the quickest ordered Didi. All three formidably figured people crammed into the back seats. Lan Wangji stared at his hands.
Brother?
Yes?
Do you think I am...
He hesitated on the exact words of the Lotus Bride, quickly switching it.
Lacking in action?
Lan Xichen tilted his head.
What do you mean?
Lan Wangji just stared moodily at the back of the driver's seat.
Is it about young Master Wei?
He rolled his head to stare at his brother. Lan Xichen's smile tweaked.
I believe that your heart has always been your own. It is up to you to determine what you feel. If your hesitance is because of young Master Wei's feelings, then maybe before I'm 30 would be nice.
He turned to properly glare, and Lan Xichen curled his mouth in to avoid laughing. Lan Wangji glanced back out the window, a little bit miffed.
I don't even know what you consider Meng Yao.
I'm not really sure either.
Lan Xichen sat back in the seat, a bit thoughtful.
Now that we have the time, I would like to find out. Now is the best time to do such things, after all.
Lan Wangji ignored the lead.
Was it truly Wen Rohan who sent the incorrect map?
His brother's expression grew slightly exasperated, but he nevertheless sat back, considering it, though.
Ayao has had a great many odds stacked against him in life. He is not obliged to act with the code of the CCG in his mind. On this matter, I am more than willing to believe that the events transpired as he stated, and leave it at that.
Stupid little cursed munchkin.
Nie Mingchui mumbled into Lan Xichen's shoulder, and he gave his partner's head an absent pat. The two jades exchanged a look before Lan Wangji looked away, lips pinned together as Lan Xichen let his head tip back, shoulders trembling with laughter. In his defense, he truly had meant to go through Yilin,
But the last few weeks of uni just seemed to slip by. He naturally saw Wei Wuxian in their shared lectures and tutorial, and no one batted an eyelid anymore when they gravitated towards each other. But no one was batting their eyelids at much else other than the exam content by this stage. What's more, his work, both academic and professional, was only increasing the longer the semester drew on. Wei Wuxian had his own territorial matters to deal with, and aside from a vague mumble or so, things were fine. He'd barely sat at their table in the few weeks. He'd been busy. But with Jiang Yanli's words still fresh in his mind, his excuses officially ran out when the semester ended, and all set moments with Wei Wuxian were replaced by hours of study for exams. Steeling himself, he set off for Yilin on the evening of the first day of the study break. He decided to play dirty. Wei Wuxian had told him that his eating habits worsened during exams, so even if bringing food all the way there made him feel like a fool, it also gave him an excuse in case he was called out for his forwardness. He climbed to the third level of the apartment and opened up the door with his hip, upon which he slowly resigned himself to always finding Wei Wuxian's apartment occupied by someone who he had not received prior warning about. Fortunately, for the first time in what felt like forever, he didn't immediately want Beechin. About 6 science students, Wei Wuxian among them, were gathered around Wei Wuxian's dining table, a forest's worth of paper between them, all expressions somewhere on a scale ranging from grim determination to beseeching the gods. Luckily, Wei Wuxian's head popped out from the mess at the sound of his open door, and he immediately beamed, whole body livening up. "Hey, Lanchan!" 5 other heads popped up as well, and he saw at least 3 people immediately grin. Slowly, he held up the Tupperware container. "I brought you dinner."
"You did, huh?"
one of the girls drawled, turning her grin to face Wei Wuxian instead, and he elbowed her, skidding his chair back and bouncing over to his entrance.
"I can come back,"
Lan Wengji offered, but Wei Wuxian quickly shook his head.
"No, no, we've been here all day. I was planning on kicking them out soon anyway."
"Thanks," someone grunted out from the paper stacks, and he huffed their way.
"Hey, guys," another mumbled. "What'd you get for 15?
29.8, 32.7. Gertrude B. Ellian." They all looked up, and the responsible voice shrugged.
"I don't know what I'm doing."
"I'll be right back," Wei Wuxian promised him, hustling him safely behind the kitchen island, before hurrying back.
"Relax, guys, I have the answer."
"I have it too,"
the quietest voice of them all murmured out from behind several practice exam papers.
"Coffee?
Double shot espresso, please."
"Flat white. I'll have an espresso too.
Can I get decaf? My hands are shaking."
"I'll have a shakerado."
The man standing up sent the last order a long look.
"So I'll just make you a regular iced coffee."
He headed over to Lan Wengji's position in the kitchen upon receiving a thumbs up, and Lan Wengji moved to give him space.
"Wen Ning,"
he greeted, as even-toned as he could make it. The ghoul inspected him for a moment before his gaze flit away to the 3 coffee machines.
"Lan Argongsi," he returned placidly. "Would you mind if I..."
Wordlessly, he reached back and helped the ghoul retrieve the coffee machines. He ignored the stammered thanks, merely retreating back and watching as Wei Wuxian explained the answer, arms waving and whole body animated. The others all listening as they drained their coffees immediately upon receiving them.
"You really do like him, don't you?
Lan Wangji blinked up at Wen Ning. There was already a file being built, and of the previously unknown ghouls who had appeared for what was coming to be known as the Sunshot Campaign, the Ghost General was one of the few who'd been unquestionably handed an SS rank. Right now, the ghoul had a soft little smile on his face, so familiar, yet so much more delicate than his sister's. And Lan Wangji found his stomach twisting. His reply was interrupted. A woman got to her feet, hurled a pen at the table, flipped onto the nearest couch, and began screaming into the first pillow she could grab. Lan Wangji just frowned.
Is she okay?
Oh, yeah. It happens to everyone at some point.
Wen Ning idly added a third shot into his cup and began drinking. One of the other girls looked up.
Should ya, are you in a she or he mood right now? I mean, I'm guessing she, but I'm in a fuck advanced biochem mood right now,
came the muffled shriek from the couch. Wei Wuxian nodded.
I mean, same.
Several people laughed. A couple gave the screaming student shoulder pats, and Wei Wuxian exchanged his position with Wen Ying. The younger ghoul brought another drink over to Shi Qingxuan, as Wei Wuxian glued himself up against Lan Wangji's side, frightfully unaware of how much it made Lan Wangji's heart dance.
God, I love science.
Is this normal?
He asked skeptically, handing over a packet of spicy potato chips, much to Wei Wuxian's delight.
Oh, yeah. Shi Qingxuan's got the first exam, and she's freaking out.
It seems unhealthy.
You don't know the worst of it.
The other girl rolled her eyes. One of my housemates is a med student, and like, Mu Qingfang will be writing a full report on the benefits of sleep by pulling 3 all-nighters.
Jia Jia once said that sleep was a sign of weakness.
Wen Ying sighed.
I laughed, and she didn't.
Someone grab my phone! Shi Qingxuan was meanwhile screaming into the pillow. I need to tell brother I'm changing my degree and my second phone. I need to rent a Mingxiong and get a mixologist on the third. I want a martini. Later that evening, after all the others had cleared out with various sighs and tears and final triple shot espressos, the pair found themselves meandering around the small apartment. Lan Wangji in the kitchen, and Wei Wuxian curled up on the couch, flicking between movies.
Hey, Lan-chan.
Hmm?
What's the situation like at the CCG? Will it be settling down before exams?
Unlikely.
He joined his partner, patiently holding up an arm so Wei Wuxian could snuggle up against his side.
Shredded pork?
Thank you.
Wei Wuxian hit play on a B-roll monster movie before flinging his remote off to vanish into some couch cushions and taking the vibrantly red bowl with glee. The movie began with some truly terrible cinematography, and the two mostly focused on eating to fill in time before the overly fake monster began eating people. Wei Wuxian let out a little hum just as red splashed across the camera, the sound vibrating between their chests. It was their first moment alone, their first opportunity to openly talk about that night.
So, have you been? Are you doing okay? Ah, I see. Then, how are your ribs? I don't think going into a dangerous fight with broken ones is standard practice.
Our family has good doctors.
I'm not questioning that, of course. I know how good they are. But are you sure you don't want me ringing up Wen Qing? Just quickly? There would be no fuss.
Wei Ying, he huffed, and the one-eyed ghoul giggled. But at the end there, Elder Brother Lan did say something about a concussion. Lan Wangji reached around and pressed his hand over Wei Wuxian's mouth.
Watch the movie,
he spoke, quite calmly, over Wei Wuxian's indignant and muffled cries. The silky pout vanished as Lan Wangji removed his hand and offered some more food with the other, watching his partner chow down happily for a moment, before he reached out to pull some of Wei Wuxian's flyaway hairs safely back from his food.
Brother is planning to make a blood oath with the director and Meng Yao.
Meng Yao? Wei Wuxian tapped his chopsticks against his lower lip before brightening. The other guy who beat Wen Rohan? You cool with it? He shrugged. It wasn't really his business. So he's really joining the CCG? Wei Wuxian picked at a stray vegetable. That Liang Feng Zun is weird. Lan Wangji frowned.
You have already labeled him with hidden.
Duh, he's a half-ghoul. Wei Wuxian rolled his head up to meet Lan Wangji's startled gaze, tapping his nose. You guys can't smell it, but we can. From that look, I'm guessing he hasn't told you. Lan Wangji shook his head, and Wei Wuxian dropped his own back against Lan Wangji's chest, ears as close to his heart as they could manage. Didn't think so.
Brother might know.
And actually, now that he thought about it,
Director Nie may know too.
Wen Rohan would definitely have known, Wei Wuxian huffed. Ah, well, he'll probably do fine. If they know, then he'll just be an extremely able investigator, not a scandal waiting to happen.
I don't think he was entirely on our side,
Lan Wangji finally admitted, quiet and embarrassed. Wei Wuxian immediately squeezed his hand. Don't worry, I don't think so either. I think he was all for siding with the winner. Lan Wangji hummed, unsatisfied. Wei Wuxian played with his hair. Hey, Lan Chan. There's something I'm still annoyed about, too. Don't worry.
What?
I never figured out who hired the assassin. Wei Wuxian grumbled, moodily. Lan Wangji blinked and turned to face him directly. The one-eyed ghoul huffed. I mean, sure, maybe it was just the Wen clan. But the only reason they'd send someone after us is because they knew who we were outside of work. And then why would they send some nobody to do the job?
The intention was not to succeed,
Lan Wangji agreed slowly.
It was to get out attention on the Wen's activity.
Wei Wuxian huffed. Someone set us up to go after the Wens. I'm just sorry I can't thank them. Lan Wangji let out a vaguely agreeing hum before getting up with their empty plates. Wei Wuxian immediately sat up, whining. Oh no, Lan Chan, don't leave this one to freeze.
There is a blanket.
You're no fun, Wei Wuxian pouted, nevertheless reaching out for the thick rug. As Lan Wangji cleaned up their dinner plates, he fondly watched Wei Wuxian tucking it meticulously around himself, ensuring not even a toe was exposed. He came back and joined Wei Wuxian under the blanket, holding out a can of Wei Wuxian's preferred wine.
No more talk of work now,
he spoke simply.
Be grateful for how it turned out.
Ah, Lan Chan takes such good care of this one. Wei Wuxian crowed, cracking it open with glee as he threw the ends of the rug around his partner and snuggled back up alongside him. This Yan Xian accepts the bribe with no hesitation. Nothing but gratitude from now on. Lan Wangji huffed, settling back into the cushions as the movie entered its final lap, taking the can from Wei Wuxian's fingers once it was finished. Before he could stand up and tidy it away,
He felt the weight against his side deepen, and he glanced down to find Wei Wuxian's eyes closed, his breathing deep and even. Lan Wangji checked his phone. Well, it was past 9 anyway, so who could blame him if he just... He set the can down as far as he could reach, before arranging the rug properly around Wei Wuxian and settling back against the cushions, allowing the warmth to carry him under for the night. The following day brought its own tests.
"Do you really mean that, Lan Chan?"
Wei Wuxian laughed happily, a pleased flush to his face.
"Say it again! Say it again! I want to hear it!"
"Spoilt."
"And whose fault is that?"
In the opened-up music tutorial room, everyone was struggling not to watch the pair as Wei Wuxian eagerly draped himself across Lan Wangji's lap, silver eyes shining and Dietze swirling in his hands. Lan Wangji barely glanced at him, instead adjusting one of the scribbles on their paper to a more correct note. Wei Wuxian blew one of his hanging bangs askew. Lan Wangji huffed, reaching and stroking aside a lock of that messy hair, today styled up into a whole nest of bunches.
"My fault."
"Yep."
Wei Wuxian beamed, pressing closer, and Lan Wangji grit his teeth as he felt it in places that would make the conversation very awkward.
"But say it again. I demand you to."
He huffed and ever so slightly lowered his voice.
"Yilin Patriarch, triple S ranked."
"Triple S?"
Wei Wuxian breathed, eyes shining before he burst into laughter.
"Ha ha! Did you know, Lan Chan? All those danger scales the CCG puts out, they compare triple S-ranked ghouls to being natural disasters in terms of damage." "Would you agree, Lan Chan?"
At this, Wei Wuxian sat up, leaning in close with his lips twirled up coquettishly. No clue to the things that did to Lan Wangji's self-control.
"Your Xian Tian is a walking natural disaster."
"A walking disaster,"
he agreed, and Wei Wuxian immediately squawked, sliding off in sulky protest. Lan Wangji swallowed, allowing the sharp separation to steady himself. His closeness with Wei Wuxian was selfish, and he couldn't indulge it.
"Please don't assume my brother's feelings, Lan Argongxi."
He reached out and snagged Wei Wuxian's sleeve.
"We should practice once more."
"If you say so."
Wei Wuxian twirled his old flute.
"I think we've got it pretty sorted at this point, though, Lan Chan."
"One can never put in too much practice."
"I suppose not."
Wei Wuxian pressed up against his side.
"Hey, have you thought of a name for it?"
"Its name?"
He tried to resist blushing. He had thought of a name, in the quiet hours of the night, fingers poised over the strings. He tossed the name back and forth within his mind.
"Tea."
"Huh?"
"I would like tea."
Wei Wuxian blinked at him before brightening.
"Yeah, I could use some coffee, too. Wait here, I'll go get us some."
He reached for his wallet, but Wei Wuxian was already moving, slightly too quickly.
"Don't worry, don't worry. I'll treat you for once."
Lan Wangji watched the door clatter behind him for a moment, struggling to suppress the sigh already forming.
"Hey, Lan Argongxi."
He glanced back to find another one of his classmates watching him curiously.
"So what's he like in bed?"
Lan Wangji blinked. Blinked once more.
"Bed?"
His ears turned to fire, his heart jumped about 4 paces, and the scowl that burst onto his face had about 5 people recoiling.
"Ridiculous."
"Oh, yeah, totally."
Someone else rolled their eyes.
"They both vanish for a week and a half and then come back more handsy than ever before. Nothing sus about that."
He turned his glare, and the guilty person swallowed and quickly glanced away. Internally, Lan Wangji was panicking. They were right. It was suspicious. What was he meant to do? What if Wei Wuxian, brilliant but dense Wei Wuxian, thought he was confessing for the sake of his reputation, not his feelings? If he bared his everything, he didn't think he would be able to stand Wei Wuxian considering it insincere. Who tops? Another person piped up, and that derailed his entire train of thought. He was spared from answering as the door swung open and Wei Wuxian came dancing back in, bearing a cardboard tray with coffee and tea. The others all immediately looked away, and Lan Wangji cleared some space at their table between the almost finished piece and his guqin.
"Do you dislike tea?"
he asked, suppressing the urge to clear his throat and fan his suddenly flushed neck, desperate, desperate for something to clear his mind. Wei Wuxian shrugged, handing Lan Wangji his own. Never got into drinking it. Unless I spike it, I don't see the appeal.
The act of brewing is calming.
Maybe. Wei Wuxian grinned and prodded Lan Wangji's cheek with the end of his flute. But we can't all be as chill as fuck as you. I don't know, Wei Xiang. You seem like you could benefit from ditching the caffeine, someone commented. Wei Wuxian pulled a face. What's even the point of decaf coffee? Just get something else. At the rate you're going, it's a wonder Lan Wangji hasn't already gotten tired of you. Lan Chan loves me, Wei Wuxian snapped back, utterly flippant, and Lan Wangji wanted to scream. Surely. Please don't assume my brother's feelings, Lan Argongxi.
Wei Ying.
He spoke softly, and the one-eyed ghoul immediately switched his attention back down.
I have a name for the song.
Wei Wuxian blinked, shifting to face him properly. Oh yeah? Then what is it? Tell me, tell me, tell me!
I will tell you, he promised, at the performance, when we play it in full.
Wei Wuxian tilted his head before idly letting it drop onto Lan Wangji's shoulder. All right, then, he smiled. I'll wait. The magical melody of Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji? The ballad of the third level table?
No.
Yilin Laozu and Hong Guanjun's legacy?
Wei Ying.
Lan Wangji glanced up from his place at the kitchen bench.
You said you would wait.
Wei Wuxian grinned up at him from his table. Yeah, for you to tell me. We agreed on nothing about whether or not I could just guess it. So, am I getting warmer? Lan Wangji exhaled.
You are currently in the Arctic Sea.
Wei Wuxian pouted. Xiang Gege, why are you in the sea? They both turned to the young ghoul, currently drawing out some of the Christmas lights. Already being put up, the lack of shame companies had about the upcoming winter was outrageous. In crayon, Wei Wuxian snorted and shifted his chair closer. It's an expression, baby. Your Lan Gege's just being mean to me. Ayuan shot him a very doubtful expression over that comment, but seemingly forgot about it as Lan Wangji set down a bowl of rice and curry in front of Wei Wuxian. The Wens, still living in Yilin, had been dealing with the economic fallout of every major inheritor to the Sun Corporation's considerable fortune, suddenly being, well, dead. And Ayuan's presence in Wei Wuxian's apartment had quite rapidly shifted from temporary to main residence in the meantime. It still gave Lan Wangji a heart attack each time the toddler made a brazen grab for the food, and Wei Wuxian yanked it to safety with a screech as the infant ghoul screeched back. Ayuan, I want to try! How many times do you have to eat rice before you figure out you can't? But I wanna! Ayuan, don't you remember the last time you had it? You complained about the grains for a week.
Ayuan huffed and puffed.
But that was your cooking. Lan Gaga's is better.
Lan Wangji snorted as the most affronted look he has ever seen appeared on Wei Wuxian's face.
You have given him your cooking?
Only a little bit,
the other wheedled. I thought maybe if it was just seasoned with chili, then it'd be fine.
Any food without our C cells cannot react with a ghoul's digestive enzymes, and thus cannot be digested by a ghoul.
Yeah, I know that now.
No matter the size, toddlers can choke on undigested food.
I know.
Lan Wangji shook his head at him, making sure his disapproval was oozing. Wei Wuxian stuck his tongue out in response, quickly shoving in a spoonful of curry.
Lan Gaga.
Ayuan slid down and waddled over to his pant leg.
Lan Gaga.
He reached down and scooped the toddler up into his lap, much to Wei Wuxian's visible ire. You're spoiling him.
He did not eat the food, as we asked. Good behavior should be rewarded.
His partner snorted around his next mouthful of curry. Ayuan tugged on his sleeve.
Lan Gaga, can I watch TV?
Come on, Ayuan. I already told you that Lan Chan's working on one of his final essays.
Wei Wuxian reached over to prod the toddler's nose, and the ghoul screwed up his face. Lan Wangji frowned slightly.
Is he hungry?
Shouldn't be. We went out last night. Wei Wuxian put up an elbow against the table, chin resting atop the first.
Hey, Ayuan, don't you want to come over to the couch and watch some TV and leave Lan Gaga alone?
No! The toddler responded very resolutely, and Wei Wuxian rolled his eyes, slumping back in his chair.
Ayuan!
It's fine, Lan Wangji assured him. He can stay. You should study.
Wei Wuxian's exams were mostly before his. The huge science papers done with enough time to be marked, unlike the music performances, which were marked primarily on the spot. Wei Wuxian frowned at him. You sure? If you let him stay, trust me when I say that he will stay there.
It's fine.
Lan Wangji repeated, a trace stubborn, holding eye contact until his partner finally gave in. And thus, when Wen Qing arrived, it was to the sight of Lan Wangji meticulously typing out an essay on his laptop, arms stretched out around the toddler shifting in his lap, who was very occupied with drooling on tiny knuckles as the TV flashed with excellently toddler-distracting colors and sound.
You good there?
Lan Wangji didn't respond, merely sent her a polite head nod and continued working on his essay.
Stubborn angel, that one.
Wei Wuxian grinned, a pen stuck behind his ear as he went over a practice exam with a red marker. You here to pick him up?
Can't.
They both looked at her, and she shrugged.
I have another meeting with the investors tomorrow morning. Do you mind keeping him for the night?
Of course not. Wei Wuxian sat up. But you've been meeting with them almost daily now.
That's actually something I wanted to talk to you about.
Wen Qing sat down, rather primly, on one side of the grimy couches. Wei Wuxian immediately frowned, moving across from her. Lan Wangji at his side. Ayuan placidly shifted in front of the TV, blissfully unaware.
Is there trouble?
Wei Wuxian asked, tension immediately straightening his frame, but she quickly waved him down.
Nothing too urgent. I've had several calls about managing the Wen family fortune, and debts that need to be repaid, and politicians that I've never met are introducing themselves as longtime friends of Wen Rohan, but that's all stuff I can deal with.
I thought you were disinherited.
Lan Wangji frowned, and Wen Qing rolled her eyes.
There's like 50 of us. Those old coots disinherited the ones they remembered and then didn't care about the rest who came with us.
She groaned and tugged on her ponytail. Of course, now that we're the only legal Wens alive, everyone wants a piece of them.
Want me to beat them up?
Wei Wuxian offered with a level of cheer that Lan Wangji should probably find concerning rather than endearing. Wen Qing rolled her eyes once more.
As much as I'd love to see it, we're good.
She paused there, thumbing the corner of the table.
The main problem is that people are going to want to find loopholes to wrest it out from us, and I'm worried that the longer this is delayed, the more likely it is that someone will lock onto Ayuan.
Wei Wuxian's jovial expression flickered. Lan Wangji's eyes pinched.
He is the most direct inheritor,
he pointed out, and she groaned.
I know, but if word gets out, if doves find out, it's going to become a mess.
The Yilin ghouls were exempt because they'd been removed from the family, Wei Wuxian agreed, stiffly. But that doesn't strictly include Ayuan.
And if I make a financial decision that pisses someone off, they might tell the CCG, or the other clans, she frowned. Those sorts of people are petty enough to get a child killed.
I can arrange something,
Lan Wangji pointed out, and Wei Wuxian scoffed.
Trust me on this, Lan Chan, no one likes a martyr.
His lips thinned in irritation.
So on that matter,
Wen Qing straightened up and looked Wei Wuxian dead in the eye. How would you feel about adopting him? Wei Wuxian blinked.
Seriously?
Yes, then I could negotiate a trust. He was already leaping to his feet as she spoke. No, seriously, Wen Qing. I am the last person who should be looking after a kid.
Oh, sure, she arched an eyebrow. You only take care of him most days of the week. It's only like most of his stuff is here anyway.
He gaped. But what about Granny, or you, or An Ying, or...
Wei Ying, Granny has long deserved a break, and I've got med school. An Ying's got 15 jobs.
I've got uni, Wei Wuxian pointed out, and she frowned.
It was always on the cards.
I mean, yes, but...
Wei Wuxian sat back. We talked about when I'd finished my undergrad.
So it just gets advanced a bit. Who cares? She shrugged. It's just an undergrad. Wen Qing!
Look, you've only got one semester to go, she pointed out. Ignoring the fact that he basically lives here, we need to officiate his new guardian anyway. It's convenient to do it now, and once it gets the vultures off my back, I'll chip in whenever.
Wei Wuxian just blinked at her, and Lan Wangji pulled him over so the one-eyed ghoul could press up against him for support.
I will help,
he promised confidently, blinking as Wei Wuxian startled. Oh no, Lan Chan, you don't have to.
I would like to.
He blinked.
I like Ayuan.
Wei Wuxian seemed to stiffen slightly. Right. Wei Wuxian internally cursed. Had he overstepped? Had he really just agreed to intervene in the life of a child Wei Wuxian had been practically in charge of for several years? Was his level of devotion that obvious? Okay. Wei Wuxian exhaled instead. Okay, sure. He sent Lan Wangji a beaming smile, and he felt like his heart would burst. Let's do this. Why the fuck not? Fuck! Ayuan agreed happily from his place before the TV, and all three of them fell into a deadly silence.
Wei Wuxian?
Whoops! Somehow, Lan Wangji persuaded him to jump down from the tree after 40 minutes. Wei Wuxian vanished into the eternal abyss of his exams for a while after that, putting a hold on their paired practice as he sat the exams for his core subjects. In the meanwhile, Lan Wangji took the opportunity to instead focus on his core performances,
His theoretical, practical, and comprehension exams for multiple subjects, all requiring their own practice. Aside from the occasional photo, mostly of Ayuan and whatever other cute thing caught Wei Wuxian's eye, they mostly focused on their own subjects for the next couple of weeks. Their shared exam, the last exam for both of them, ever so quickly advancing upon them. He would stop by to take care of Ayuan, but this was mostly when Wei Wuxian couldn't, so it wasn't exactly boosting their time together. It was just temporary, just to the end of exams. He missed him so much. He really couldn't live apart from Wei Ying, could he? The night of the performance exam was cloudy, snow tantalizingly close as the various students rocked up to the same performance hall that the University of Gusu had been conducting music performance exams in for about 90-odd years now. It wasn't just their particular subject performing tonight, and as he arrived at the venue, Lan Wangji at least made an effort to greet some of the other music students that he'd shared prior units with. Wei Wuxian was waiting for him near the front door, hopping from one foot to the other and twirling his flute. He was being uncharacteristically reticent, listening to various conversations from the edge rather than being an active participant. His face brightened as Lan Wangji approached.
Lan-chan! Hiya! And elder brother Lan, too!
It's a pleasure to meet you again, young Master Wei.
Lan Xichun smiled at Lan Wangji's side.
I'm looking forward to this performance. Wangji has been unusually stingy when it came to telling me about it.
One day, Lan Xichun would learn to keep his nose out of Lan Wangji's life, but as he glared at his elder brother, he lost a little bit more hope that it would be someday soon. Wei Wuxian, on the other hand, just laughed.
No wonder! We had a deal after all.
Oh?
Lan Xichun turned to him with a beaming look.
And what was this deal?
Sound checks are starting.
He caught Wei Wuxian's wrist and dragged him away, voice a little too curt to diminish the look on his brother's face. Luckily, Wei Wuxian didn't fight, following beside him cheerfully as they headed inside.
I thought all your family came to watch you play.
They will come at the time of the performance, he explained. Brother drove me here. Yours?
Aw, hell no, Wei Wuxian laughed. I have to bully them to come to my science showcases. You think they'd bother with a broadening unit?
Well, no. He used to think ghouls would never care for anything of the sort, but...
Jiang Yanli is busy.
I mean, she has Aliying, so she's kind of always busy.
Wei Wuxian brightened up.
He's a handful, and they couldn't find a babysitter for tonight. She let me know a while back.
The two scanned their names and ID cards at the entrance, a quick message alerting them of their time slot with a reminder of the standard procedure of stating one's student number, and then the subject code, etc. Given Lan Wangji's lengthy amount of experience in the matter, they both agreed he'd speak on their behalf. One of the things he had to say was the name of the piece. The waiting room was as raucous as they always were, students obsessively checking finger positions and tuning. Lan Wangji felt a trace of concern about Wei Wuxian's flute being exposed to the cold, but a quick check with his phone, revealed it to be fine.
It's apparently been in my mom's family for years. A little cold isn't going to mess it up.
They were left to mostly their own devices, waiting as various examinees went through to the auditorium. Their only real contact coming from a quick message from Lan Xichun, informing him that the rest of the Lan family, or at least those who felt like watching, had arrived. It was mostly his great-aunts and great-uncles, the ones who'd supplemented his uncle in his caretaking. And of course, uncle and brother would be right up front. Wei Wuxian leaned over his back, reading the message over his shoulder.
Hey, Lan-chan.
Mm?
My family's having a pretty chill get-together at Shuchia's place on the weekend. Do you want to come?
He blinked and glanced at the face on his shoulder. They would not mind.
Nah, they won't. I was planning on bringing Ayuan anyway. Oh, and you'll get to meet Madame Yu. She'll finally stop bugging me about it.
The Lan family advocated absolute honesty, so Lan Wangji had no shame in thinking he would rather not meet one of the most infamously cannibalistic ghouls in the city. Still, as their number grew ever closer, and their absent talk dwindled down again, slowly, Lan Wangji found himself feeling the ever-so-unwelcome strains of hesitation. Could he do this? Could he really do this?
Lan-chan?
Wei Wuxian entwined their fingers and smiled confidently. Let's go. It's our turn next. He nodded and the pair walked out, both once more stating their student IDs. The auditorium spread out, about half full of various supportive family and friends, with the four examiners up front at their table. One of them deftly read out the boundaries of the exam, the warning bell if the piece breached the 3-minute mark, and so on, before gesturing for one of them to formally introduce themselves. Lan Wangji spoke the information mechanically, their names, their subject, their years, and their exact instruments.
And the name?
One of them asked, adjusting their glasses. He swallowed.
And balked.
Untitled. He spoke simply, moving to the seat behind his guqin. Wei Wuxian stared at him for a single moment, before merely smiling in acquiescence and lifting his own dietze in anticipation. The examiners marked it down with a quick scribble, and one rang the soft bell. As he fell into the opening chords, ingrained into the very marrow of his bones by this stage, he had to resist closing his eyes and falling into the music. Instead, he focused on Wei Wuxian as he joined in perfectly, their two sounds weaving together, over and under, back and forth, a dance of two that had become their own muscle memory. It was their song, every note, every breath, every beat, every drawn-out sound, every shortened sound, each marked the other as one half of their pair. Not one mistake occurred, for any missed note, any wrong tone, was immediately matched by the other, their eyes locked together and leaving the rest of the world shut out. As it wound to a close, the whole audience, temporarily rendered silent, got to their feet and applauded. The whole crowd of his relatives were waiting for him when they exited the backstage area, all ready to flock around him and offer individual congratulations. It was nothing he hadn't heard before, but he was grateful that they took time out to see him, even if the motivation sat more in a judgmental majority than a supportive one. Still, as he was being extolled the excellence of pairing a guqin with another traditional instrument for the 12th time, he couldn't help but realize that Wei Wuxian had slipped away during the commotion. No, he had decided, he had hesitated, and now Wei Ying was probably gone and... Lan Xichen cast him a side eye and angled himself into a position that blocked the door as he started up a conversation with great-uncle Lan Yang. Lan Wangji ducked past him, slipping out when everyone's attention faltered, and hurrying off into the night. The first of the snow was beginning as he stepped onto the sidewalk and took off. Wei Wuxian was walking about 5 minutes ahead of him, headphones radiating music audible to a third party. One hand sunk deep into his coat, and the other lightly tapped against his phone screen. The one-eyed ghoul was turning before Lan Wangji had even caught his sleeve, expression shifting into something that was likely surprised. But Lan Wangji's ability to perceive Wei Wuxian's physical cues seemed to be decreasing in accordance with the increase in his nerves.
Lan-chan?
Wei Wuxian tilted his head up in question, pulling out his headphones. Aren't you going back with your family?
I merely needed to accept their congratulations. He answered mechanically. I have no prior commitment.
Oh. Wei Wuxian let out an abrupt chuckle. I kind of just assumed you were having some big family dinner. Oh no, don't pull that face, Lan Chan. Surely you enjoy spending time with your extended family. Whatever his face did next prompted a giggle from Wei Wuxian, and he internally screamed as his throat choked up. So what's up? He glanced back, a couple of snowflakes settling atop his dark hair. Lan Wangji swallowed down.
The name of the song.
Of all the things he could have said, that wasn't what Wei Wuxian had been expecting. His face visibly froze, startled as his brain shifted gears. What had he been expecting? Then Wei Wuxian laughed again, and Lan Wangji allowed himself to unclench his fists. Oh, Lan Chan! He got up between his laughs. I don't care if you didn't come up with a name. It wasn't like mine were any good.
No.
No? Wei Wuxian blinked. Wait, did you like them?
No. I mean, yes, but that wasn't...
He swallowed again and wondered if one was able to strangle oneself with headphone cords.
There is a name.
Wei Wuxian arched a brow, grin turning shit-eating. And by the grace of the gods, if he didn't get this out before Wei Wuxian made it a joke, he was going to die.
I did not want others to hear it, though.
It cut off Wei Wuxian's look of mischief, enough for him to forge on.
Just us.
Just us, huh? Wei Wuxian echoed, with an unknown tremble in his voice that Lan Wangji didn't need to hear right now. So let's hear it, then. His palms were sweaty. He wiped them on his pants. His heart and brain were drumming out of time, one desperately screaming, "Abort! Abort! Abort!" Wei Wuxian blinked at him, and as the snow framed his beautiful face, another part pushed, "Go,
Wangxian."
Wei Wuxian's shoulders hitched.
"Wangxian?"
He sounded out, soft and hesitant. Hopeful? Or was that Lan Wangji's own hope, reading too deeply into this? He managed a nod.
"Wangxian,"
his partner repeated, and his head dropped to his chest, and his shoulders did that little tremble that marked laughter. And Lan Wangji just messed this up. Had he broken Wei Wuxian?
"Wei Ying."
"Lan Chan!" Wei Wuxian's head bounced back up. His eyes were shining. "Lan Chan! Lan Chan!" He burst into joyous laughter, hands up to grasp Lan Wangji's cheeks. "If you named it something like that, then..." He inhaled. Then you won't argue if I..." He was leaning forward, and Lan Wangji could only watch as his lips opened ever so slightly, his face right there. He closed the distance and caught Wei Wuxian's mouth with his own. Wei Wuxian mumbled the tiniest of squeaks, but before he could retreat, the one-eyed ghoul caught his jacket and tugged him closer, immediately deepening the kiss. Lan Wangji considered himself a humble man with a reasonably secure ego. So as choirs sang in his ears and stars bloomed across his eyes, he had no qualms in apologizing to every single romantic he had ever cast a stain upon for their dramatization of a proper kiss with one's beloved. It really was that heavenly. With all his ancestors as witness, he swore his heart was so full he could fly right off the ground, the only thing rooting him being the burning grip on his jacket. He opened his mouth slightly wider, and Wei Wuxian only grew more eager, pushing in deeper, a hand reaching up to twist in his hair, both pressing close, so much closer, only their clothing blocking them. Somehow, through a method definitely unknown to Lan Wangji, Wei Wuxian pulled back with a flushed beam. "Yours or mine?" Mine is closer. Oh? Wei Wuxian's eyes twinkled mischievously.
Does Lan Arguguo want to try and keep me quiet?
No. Yours. He decided flatly, and Wei Wuxian burst into laughter, red all across his face as he took Lan Wengji's wrist and dragged him over to his bike, tucked into a shelter to protect it from the snow.
Did you like that, Lan Arguguo?
He did, he realized. He liked it a lot.
Elder Brother Lan won't mind.
He is tacitly aware. Wei Wuxian hummed, switching on his bike's ignition.
Your uncle?
Wei Ying. He climbed up behind his partner and breathed the words into the shell of his ear. Stop talking about others. Wei Wuxian exhaled in a single, shaky breath as they sped off into the night, the first snow swirling around their lights. And if Wei Wuxian had driven over the speed limit in his urgency to reach Yilin, well, Lan Wangji felt no need to comment. The door had barely closed behind them before Lan Wangji was stripping Wei Wuxian of his clothes with a single-minded focus. He was a one-eyed ghoul. He shouldn't be any sort of sensitive to the cold, so why was he wearing so many layers? Wei Wuxian laughed the whole way through, helping with the buttons of the red checked shirt lying underneath his jacket and hoodie and jumper. The entire process was hindered by their compulsive need to kiss every other second, hands trailing across scalps, chests, backs, thighs.
Bedroom. Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian laughed, shimmying out of his pants and underwear, and the sound reverberated through his throat, each vibration felt by the lips Lan Wangji had pressed against them.
If you try anything here, you will break a wall, or a table, or something, and I can't afford to replace any of it. Bed, now!
Lan Wangji huffed, Wei Wuxian here before him, so warm and vibrant, and the thought of delaying for something like money, which Lan Wangji could easily cover.
All my stuff's in my bedroom drawer, anyway.
Lan Wangji scooped him up, and Wei Wuxian let out a gleeful chirp as he was carried all the way to his unmade double bed. He didn't squawk as Lan Wangji dropped him onto his back, merely grinning and reclining down onto his elbows, legs draping over the sides, basking in his own nudity as Lan Wangji found said drawer and immediately slotted himself between those knees, up on his own, as if he could even begin to worship the beauty before him. Lan Wangji shed his shirt, all of a sudden too hot to keep it on for a second longer, and Wei Wuxian hummed appreciatively. He huffed a laugh, pressed down and sucked a sweet mark against Wei Wuxian's throat. The gasp made him glance up, and he was almost startled.
The Kakugan,
Lan Wangji's brain helpfully supplied, emerges in order to register and adapt to higher levels of stimuli. It most commonly manifests when a ghoul is hunting, afraid, or agitated. Holistically, it is a sign of arousal. Lan Wangji could only stare enchanted as Wei Wuxian writhed beneath him, nails digging into Lan Wangji's shoulder as black spread across his sclera, red blossoming in place of his iris. Wei Wuxian was definitely aroused. The thought filled him with the sort of glee he had come to expect with Wei Wuxian, and he leant down, nuzzling and lapping at that neck, scent heady as his fingers felt around for Wei Wuxian's nipples and began to fiddle, teasing and playing with them. Wei Wuxian whined. So Lan Chan let his lips slide down and he dug his teeth in. Wei Wuxian gasped under him, his whole body bunching reflexively as his gaze snapped into focus, a dramatic pout forming on his face.
Lan Chan!
He gasped, scandalized.
We agreed, no biting, no teeth-touching body.
Lan Wangji stared down at him, moody.
We agreed you would not bite me.
Wei Wuxian's gasp was cut off as Lan Wangji clamped his mouth over Wei Wuxian's throat, sucking a hickey into existence.
Lan Chan, I would argue there was a mutual agreement applied and adherence to the spirit of the rule, not just the letter.
Too much aimless chatter. He instead hummed into the burning shoulder and used a spare hand to feel around for the bottle of lube. He poured out a generous amount, quickly rubbed his hands to warm it slightly, and reached down to trail a hand up Wei Wuxian's thighs. Wei Wuxian inhaled.
Good.
Yes, good, yes, keep.
He exhaled with a pant, fingers flexing.
Go.
He hummed, pressing his lips against that burning pulse as he shifted his fingers up against the tight rim.
Lan Chan.
This time the words were exhaled, breathy and sharp, in time with Wei Wuxian's fingers suddenly tightening against his back.
We need to flip! Now!
Lan Wangji reacted on cue, grasping Wei Wuxian's back and pressing them chests together, before deftly rolling sideways to flip Wei Wuxian on top. The one-eyed ghoul exhaled with a long cry as his kagune almost immediately flared out, 5 different black tendrils all coiling and uncoiling in loose, happy curls.
Sorry, he panted slightly. I've already ripped the sheets a couple of times. Kinda didn't want to pay for more.
Lan Wangji frowned, shifting a bit so Wei Wuxian could sit more comfortably, but not entirely happy with their positions. Wei Wuxian settled down, folding his arms atop Lan Wangji's chest. He grinned.
Wanna bang?
He cooed coquettishly, and Lan Wangji looked up at him balefully, reaching back and squeezing that ass.
Very much so.
Wei Wuxian dissolved into laughter, Rinkaku dancing behind him. His hair finally broke free of the last tie, falling all over his face, and Lan Wangji ran his other hand across his face.
I have an idea.
This one is all yours, Lan Arguga.
Lan Wangji felt that. He slowly pulled Wei Wuxian off him, encouraging him to get down on his stomach instead. Rinkaku tendrils languidly spread out around him as Lan Wangji settled above him, dragging his slick fingers around Wei Wuxian's rear. A tendril absently drifted closer and he tugged it away. Wei Wuxian hiccuped. Lan Wangji's eyes flickered up. Experimentally, he ran his fingers along the grasping tendril, and the one-eyed ghoul shivered with a pleased gasp.
A kagune is formed from RC cells and nerves. Its flexibility came from having the same nerve sensitivity as a tongue.
He grasped it, and Wei Wuxian gasped.
Lan Chan, are you having fun back there?
He wriggled around slightly, whining.
I'm getting impatient here. How dare you present yourself so fully and then hold back?
He cut himself off as Lan Wangji pressed in a first finger, words becoming a never-ending string of yes and good and hurry, please, right there. The sound he made as Lan Wangji pushed in a second finger and curled them would have resonated through his whole apartment, and he felt gleeful exuberance at their choice to come back here. And it was riding this exuberance that he leaned down and dragged his tongue along the Kakuo's exit point. The high gasp had him glancing up, to find Wei Wuxian peering back over his shoulder, pouting furiously, teeth clenched tightly around a very drool-covered pillowcase.
Bully, he accused. Lan Chan is a bully!
Any words of criticism fell by the wayside as Lan Wangji opened up a condom with his teeth, slicked himself up, and replaced the fingers in one smooth thrust. In fact, most things intellectual fell by the wayside then, replaced instead with deep gasps and heavy breaths, hands intertwining together as they rocked in one rhythm, tipping over their edges with each other's names on their lips.
Oi Ying,
he breathed out, buried deep into his beloved, chin resting against Wei Wuxian's shoulder, and one hand absently stroking a completely blissed out tendril.
Is this regular?
Yeah, Wei Wuxian drawled out, completely bone dead. Whenever I get hella horny.
If it always comes out,
he asked softly.
How have you kept yourself hidden?
Oh, that? Wei Wuxian hummed into the pillow. That's because I've never done this with someone else before. They rested together for a moment. Wei Wuxian snorted.
Lanchan, did you just get harder?
And Lan Wangji leant down to capture that mouth with another kiss, as Wei Wuxian promptly erupted into raucous laughter. Later, they lay with their chests together, cleaned and tidied up, Lan Wangji's fingers trailing through Wei Wuxian's hair as his partner traced circles over his arms. Lan Wangji truly wondered if one could die of happiness, if fondness and love and sheer joy could swell too big for his meager chest to contain. As Wei Wuxian pressed lazy kisses against the underside of his chin, he decided it was a death he'd be more than grateful for.
Hey, Lanchan, does this make us pretty kinky?
Lan Wangji need his shins. Lan Wangji really was going to develop a severe case of PTSD pertaining to opening the doors of ghoul residences, because as soon as he entered the unnecessarily mouth-wateringly expensive penthouse apartment of Jiang Yanli and her husband, he was met with the sight of Jiang Yanli wrapping a bandage around what used to be Jin Sichuan's fingers, as a tiny baby with way too many teeth gnawed on Jiang Wenyin's leg with all the determination of a real-life gremlin. Luckily, Wei Wuxian didn't seem too distressed, as he herded in Ai Yuan, humming pleasantly, hand still warm in Lan Wangji's own. So he just sighed internally at his boyfriend's casual relationship with the macabre.
Asian!
Jiang Yanli beamed, welcoming even with blood all over her hands.
I hope the traffic wasn't too bad.
It was totally fine. We decided to walk anyway.
It's so good to see you. I feel like I haven't heard from you in ages. You're so skinny. You must have been starving during exams.
Don't worry, Shijia. I'm perfectly fine. Besides, Wei Wuxian held up their linked hands with a proud beam. We've been keeping busy. The entire living room fell silent, even the tiny baby gremlin pausing to drool over his uncle's leg. Lan Wangji's terror peaked, and even though he was a menu item for every person currently staring at them, he felt he couldn't quite internally justify that bit as his excuse. Internally, he praised Wei Wuxian's forward thinking in sealing their relationship away from the eyes of the Lan family, because he was going to need time before he could get this done a second time. The first person to move was the woman relaxing on the couch, a wine glass held in aristocratic hands, filled with a red liquid he doubted was actually wine.
Well, it's about fucking time, Wei Wuxian, she drawled. Aren't you meant to be some sort of genius?
The dam broke. Beside her, Jiang Fengmian rested his hand on her shoulder with a,
calm yourself, my dear. We all know Asian's a little dense.
As Jiang Wenyin made some sort of cry that mixed distress, rage, and relief all in one, none of which came out particularly wonderfully. A little
Dad, he's got one fucking brain cell and he donated it to science.
The racket was only exacerbated as the nephew, clinging to his bleeding leg, gleefully tried to copy his uncle's screech. Only this time it was a high-pitched edition. At the counter, Jin Sichuan just sighed and continued to flex his regenerating fingers. Jiang Yan Li spoke over them all effortlessly, swanning to their side to usher them in, beaming as Ayuan stretched out hands for a hug.
Congratulations, Asian.
She gave her brother a quick squeeze.
I'm so happy for you. Oh, and you too, Lan Wangji. I'm sure it took a while.
Hey! Wei Wuxian half-heartedly protested, as she let go to scoop up Ayuan.
Lan Chan, you don't think I'm dense, do you?
Lan Wangji stared at him blandly for a few more moments and contented himself with kissing the top of Wei Wuxian's head. His boyfriend grumbled, but was relatively appeased enough to cuddle up right against him. Lan Wangji preened.
And hello, sweetie. I haven't seen you in a while.
Jiang Yan Li swung the little toddler around in the meantime.
Are you taking good care of your Guga?
Yep.
Ayuan beamed, and Wei Wuxian sent Lan Wangji a shining smile as his sister shut the door behind them. Ayuan reached out, and they both took a hand in, guiding him into the living room.
You remember Aliying, don't you, Ayuan?
Wei Wuxian crooned, leading the toddler over to his brother and nephew. The gremlin baby looked at Ayuan with wide, curious eyes as Ayuan reached out and gently pet his head.
Aliying was smaller.
Yeah, he's grown. You were once that small, too.
Ayuan looked very surprised by this fact. In the meantime, Jin Liying had successfully detached himself from Jiang Wanyin's legs and had obediently allowed the head pat, and, upon deciding that he quite liked this tiny newcomer, reached out and sunk his teeth into Ayuan's arm. Ayuan didn't so much as jump, as he did turn back and immediately sink his own teeth into Jin Liying's shoulder.
All the ghouls cooed.
Lan Wangji sighed slightly.
Fine, whatever. Ghoul babies bite. He could deal with this.
Wei Wuxian jumped back up, content to leave the toddler with Jiang Wanyin, who was looking rather brooding as he gazed over the two children, which was an image Lan Wangji really didn't need to ever think about again, and instead turned to hug his uncle. Madame Yu, the Violet Spider, was giving them both a critical look over.
As far as I'm hearing, you might not be Guga for long.
Oh, yes, I heard that too,
Jiang Yan Li clapped.
I think it's wonderful, Asian. When is it official?
Wen Qing's pushing for the papers. Should probably be before New Year.
I would have liked more warning, Madam Yu sniffed. I have been planning our New Year gathering for 2 months already. I would have enjoyed knowing to expect another.
Surely a toddler can't be that big of an addition,
Jiang Fengmian mused. It was at this point that Jin Zixuan returned with a twist to his face.
With all due respect, Uncle, Aliying eats more in a day than Ali and I do in a month.
Of course they do, Madam Yu snapped. Are we to be known as a family that starves our children? I wouldn't be able to show my face at the restaurant for months. Wei Wuxian huffed as he steered Lan Wangji over to a free, minimalistic couch.
Sorry, it's all a bit rowdy.
I do not mind.
And he didn't. He really didn't. The look on Wei Wuxian's face was one of pure joy as he gazed around the exuberant ghouls, positively vibrating with excess energy as they all cuddled up together on the couch. Wei Wuxian leaned up next to his ear.
Hey, Lan Chan, how do you feel about Ayuan taking your name?
He blinked and turned.
He has been with you longer.
I know, but...
He posed in melodramatic thought.
He just feels like a Lan, wouldn't you agree?
It was so close to perfect that Lan Wangji couldn't help but close the space between them, pressing a burning kiss against Wei Wuxian's own, hoping his gaze conveyed exactly what they would be doing if left alone together. By the shine entering Wei Wuxian's eyes, it did so successfully. And then Jin Liying gave a cry, and Ai Yuan almost immediately did the same. They were both immediately on their feet, Lan Wangji's hand flying for his pistol, and Wei Wuxian's left eye swallowed up by black and red. The other ghouls were equally alert, Kakugan bright and active. The little toddler had stumbled back to the safety of Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji's legs from the baby who was shifting about, letting out another distressed cry. Jiang Yan Li suddenly gasped, "Oh, is this?" Jin Liying let out another cry and his eyes flared, the black of his own infant Kakugan still stained with white, his red not entirely active, as his neat little jumpsuit gave with a tear and the beginnings of ivory began to unfurl out of his right shoulder blade. "It's his first Kagune!" Jiang Cheng squealed, crouching down, arms extending encouragingly as the ivory slowly began to form itself into a jagged blade. "He's got Suiha too!" Jin Sichuan clutched his wife in ecstasy, and Jin Liying determinedly clambered up onto his baby feet, letting out another cry. Another spike appeared, and they all gasped as they began sprouting all across his shoulder blades, like the flared tail of a peacock, with another large one blossoming from his left shoulder blade, slowly forming a blade of ivory. Wei Wuxian clutched Lan Wangji's arm. "It's two Kagune?" he realized, and Lan Wangji blinked as it clicked.
"A chimera," he spoke simply. "Anukaku and Kohaku synthesized into one."
"Aliing!"
Jiang Yan Li scooped him up and tossed him into the air.
"A chimera! You love both your mama and baba that much, huh?"
"One of a kind," Jin Sichuan breathed, extending a finger for his son to grab and gnaw on. Madame Yu was immediately on her phone.
"Get me Ajie on the line. We need to organize Aliing's first Kagune party within the week."
"I'll contact the caterers then, dear."
Wei Wuxian just laughed, reaching out and swinging himself around Lan Wangji's front.
"A chimera, Lan Chan! Haven't I told you so many times how wonderful my nephew is?" "Xiang Gege."
Ai Yuan tugged on his pants.
"What's a camera?"
"Chimera," Lan Wangji corrected dutifully. "It is a special Kagune."
"Oh, like mine!"
Ai Yuan immediately brightened.
"Aliing's like Ai Yuan?"
"A little, but your halo is a bit different."
Wei Wuxian scooped him up and rubbed their noses together.
"But you're both so special."
Lan Wangji reached out and tucked back a stray lock of Wei Wuxian's hair, allowing his hand to stop as it cupped Wei Wuxian's cheek.
"Both so special."
Wei Wuxian laughed, extending his own hand, and pulling Lan Wangji close. The two wrapped around the toddler between them.
"Let's hope my first formal party at your place is a bit calmer, huh?" "Anything is good," he assured his partner. "Anything with Wei Ying is perfect."
"Perfect," Wei Wuxian agreed, smile as bright as the sun and heterochromatic eyes shining. "As long as we're together." And Lan Wangji pulled him in for a long kiss. He didn't feel the need to break anytime soon.